It's a challenge to be a migrant or a refugee. Beginning from scratch, usually at an age when new beginnings are by no means easy. It's a challenge also to be a mother, or for that matter, a parent. Having the responsibility of a new life on you, who grows and develops in your arms. Combine the two, and here we are at Mom's Mic Radio Show. We are a group of migrant and refugee mothers based in North Rhine-Westphalia who have organized ourselves around the notion of storytelling as empowerment. We have each long searched to see whether and where our experience is being represented in the media. Sadly, we ended up not satisfied with the stereotypical images of black and brown women in need of, quote-unquote, saving. As black women and women of color, we need to be visible. We need to be represented. It is about time our surroundings viewed us as we actually are. This aspiration gave rise to the idea of Mom's Mic Radio Show. This English-speaking radio program is a platform where we tell our stories and exchange ideas. We discuss a range of issues from our journeys to our daily lives, the racism affecting our children and us, our concerns and worries. We also talk about childbearing, postpartum traumas, and parenting experience, including the interaction with the care and educational system. In each episode, we shall bring up social or political issues of the day, in Germany, locally, or globally, that influences us along with the events happening at our quote-unquote home countries that occupy our minds. This shall be followed by discussions and interviews with other moms, activists, and experts. We provide inspirational tips on a variety of issues that matter to our life quality, from health to our parenthood journeys, to cooking and self-care. For the first episode, the focus is on the corona crisis time and how it has influenced our lives. Thanks for listening.
Everyone, my name is Nadia, and I will accompany you in this show. We made this show as a team of four people. Me, I'm a Syrian, live in Düsseldorf since 4 years. I have a university degree in business administration and a bachelor degree in translation, and I'm a mom of 7 years old lovely daughter. Mahtab.
Hello, this is Mahtab.
Mahtab is Iranian and has lived in Essen for 3 years now with her husband and her 22-month-old child. Rosie.
Hello, this is Rosie.
She comes from Indonesia. She has done her PhD in water science in the UK, and she moved to Germany at the end of her pregnancy in May 2018. And since then, lives in Essen with her family. Finally, Yasmin.
Hello, I'm Yasmin.
She is Syrian too, lives in Düsseldorf with her husband and her two lovely daughters. Begin this part by listening to Mahtab's experience of the quarantine times.
Well, for me personally, it made a rather big change, this period of quarantine. When it started at the end of March, I had started working with an association, a migrant self-organization, as an intern for 3 months then. And I was just developing the relationships and what I wish to call friendships there. I was learning the work and I was very much looking forward to all the workshops and reflection rounds that we were organizing. And I was even going to give a workshop on anti-Muslim racism for BPOC women in August, which was obviously important to me. Many of them were safe spaces for Black people and people of color, which were really empowering in many cases. But then the quarantine came and this organization had weekly meetings online, once for the whole team and one more for this project that I was involved in. I was staying at home with a 20-month-old and it was impossible for me to attend these weekly meetings. I did my best, but I really couldn't keep up with the tasks, with attending the meetings, and eventually my contact with them was minimized. So although other people in this association had a much stronger support network, so they were born here, they were raised here, so they had family and friends, but actually it never happened that they would ask how I was doing on my own here. Even when I told one of them that I had an incidence of domestic violence, she never actually followed up on this. She didn't ask later how I was doing. And at the end, I was totally detached from this association and all the contacts were cut. And this I couldn't tell anyone because I was so happy and I always was so proud of my connection there. And this was really frustrating, emotionally, professionally, and also money-wise.
Like most migrants and refugees, our lives are scattered over borders. Our experiences and emotions are not just shaped by the conditions of the country in which we live now, but also where we come from. Let's listen to Rosie telling us about her feelings in this regard.
Let me think. I think during this crisis, I get more stressed. Not more stressed, I get stressed easily. Especially when you read news. And especially at the beginning of the corona, I read news so many times per day. Keep checking the number. And I didn't realize that I get stressed, but my body show somehow that you are stressed. Like, for example, when I'm stressed, I will have lost hair. I don't, maybe because it's also related to AVA somehow, correlated with the thing that I said before, that I don't have time for myself. Like my time is really dedicated to AVA and I cannot really have free time during weekday. And he is so active now that he wants attention all the time. And also in combination with the news and the situation in Indonesia, it also makes me stress. My family, they are fine. I mean, so far they are fine, thank God. But I have some relatives who are, not relatives, actually my nephew, two of my nephew are nurse.
And they are working in the hospital that has corona patient, and the situation in Indonesia is not getting better. It's the numbers still increasing every day. It's not getting flat at all, but the government already relaxed the lockdown. We don't have really lockdown, but already like allow people to go out, and they open the mall and they open all the restaurant again. So it's just like normal. They open the beach, they open all the tourist destination. So it's like now whoever is strong, you survive. Who is not strong, you will get the corona. It's like natural selection. The reason why government like open again, because I said that it's for the economy. It's for the sake of the economy. So they call now is everything is new normal. But the thing is, new normal, if it's like in Germany now, we can call it new normal because they managed to flatten the curve, and then yeah, it's controlled. But in Indonesia, there is no flat curve. They jump to they're making new normal rule while the curve is still going up. Not only observing the situation in Germany, also we have another location, another country that we are caring of. So yeah, it's like a double exposure, exactly.
شم دور از جهان هوا خوشبو و تازه به آرامش تن من حالا قدر نیازه به تنهایی رسیدم نفس از تن کشیدم برام این چاره سازه یه تنهایی
Living conditions for refugee women have worsened immensely as a result of the outbreak of COVID-19 pandemic. They often have to live very tightly in mass and collective accommodations, where they are housed with people they don't know. Especially in isolated collective camps, where the drastic situation due to the pandemic has worsened, there is still insufficient protection neither against sexual assaults by other residents, social workers, or security guards, nor against the pandemic. The implementation of distance regulations, quarantine measures, or hygiene concept is impossible for the women as for the other residents of the facilities. Here, we will listen to an audio statement that is collected by the Break Isolation Group of International Women's Space.
Hi, there's something going on here that people don't understand. I think there is no more hygiene in politics. As in, this quarantine is not anymore quarantine. It's, I think, taking advantage of the quarantine, this pandemic time. I have been in foster housing, met people, women, children, pregnant women, being shuffled from one lager to another. And within the lager, you're even shuffled from one room to another. After the 14 days, they tell you they are taking you somewhere, of which people don't know where they go. Some people have been forced to sign a letter that they want to go back freely back to their countries. This is unbelievable. There are things being implemented, and they are not in the law. It's a strategy to take advantage of this pandemic time. these shuffling people from one lager to another. They even people, I'm shocked. I met a woman from Henningsdorf, a pregnant woman. She came to Noropin. She don't know why she's there. She was just told to come there. After 2 weeks, she was given a room within Fusterhausen. After then, we don't know where she was taken. You just wake up and they tell you you're going somewhere else, of which people have no idea where they are taking people. And then they are squeezing people in their rooms. It's not even quarantine anymore. It looks like a small jail. That's what is going on here. It's very, very shocking. The people are getting worried every day. So in this time of quarantine, they are doing something. If you don't want to go and you don't want to collaborate with them, they give you between 50 to 90 euro. They give you a key to go in and out. As in, when you go out, you give the key to the security. When you come in, you have to take your key so that they monitor when you're going in and out. And then they are stressing people, as in, if you don't collaborate, you don't get money. If you don't collaborate, you don't have a place to stay. If you don't collaborate, they don't prolong your stay. If you don't, there is no address stamped on your permission to stay here. And they don't allow you to integrate or work. It's they block you. And then they give you residence fees. All these things are happening for the last 2 or 3 months. Nobody understands. I think there is a sickness that is Messiah complex. As in, if you don't worship them, you don't get what you want. It's very shocking, especially for pregnant women and women with children being shuffled from one ladder to another, and they don't know about tomorrow.
So now, for the next part, we are going to listen to Yasmin. She's talked to Negin about her experience of quarantine period. Negin is 39. She has lived in Germany for 8 years now. She has a 4-year-old son, Yashua, and is expecting another baby in the middle of August.
I didn't have a difficult pregnancy till now, not much craving, but I have gestational diabetes. Since I am an active person, always going out and walking around, it was hard to stay at home the whole time. My son couldn't go to the kindergarten and my husband had to work from home since 1st of April. So it was hard. I really yearned to go for a walk, but since my son had a severe allergy in March and April, I preferred to stay at home with him. So mentally and emotionally under pressure, as I wished to go out and be active, I only would go shopping with my husband and son. However, I think we can't fight with nature, and like any other virus or germ or bacteria, we need to find a way to live with it. For me, sitting in the doctor's office for my checkups with the mask makes it difficult. It has been more than a year and a half that we have applied for German citizenship, but have received no reply yet, as there are many requests and it will take even longer due to COVID-19. My husband's job is affected as he is paid much less than before.
sometimes less than the minimum needed for a three-person family. But the economy is slowly running again and things will get better. I took Joshua to the kindergarten to the very last day. For the first days, it wouldn't mean much to him that he has to stay at home. But after some days, he wanted to play and the playgrounds were all closed. Our balcony has a view of the playground in the middle of our residential complex. He wanted to go out. He would call his friends' names and I had to say, no, that's not possible. There's corona. And he would say, when would it go away? I would prepare the balcony for him because I was afraid he would lack vitamin D. He was so bored and restless. From the 1st of April, my husband was at home the whole time. It would happen that we had to tell him, no, no, don't. Or he had to watch TV for a very long time, which happened some days. On the other hand, it was super hard to entertain a very active 4-year-old. It was nice that he was staying with me, but with nowhere to go, it would lead to many conflicts. Even when we went shopping once a week, he had to sit in a shopping trolley so he wouldn't touch anything. They can transmit the virus even when they are not severely infected themselves.
Day by day, I'm getting stronger, and I'm not afraid to fall. Thick-skinned, I'm smarter and faster. It's supernatural. One by one, gather believers, building an empire. Take prisoners, conquering leaders. Whatever I desire, maybe it's in my future. Maybe it's in my head. The voices are getting louder. I believe in what they said. I have the power. I could be the hero. I could be the villain. It doesn't really matter. I have the power.
This was part of the song, Power to Live Right, that Kerry Robinson used to sing on Maxwell Street, Chicago. She was a black gospel singer and dancer. And the street was the heart of blues music made by African-American artists between 1940s and 1970s. We are ending our first episode in solidarity with Black Lives Matter, this time sparked by murder of George Floyd. And when he called out for his mama, all mothers were summoned. Goodbye, everybody, and don't forget to join us in the next episode.
Goodbye,
bye, everyone. Gute.